The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Today on Happy Sad Confused, Claire Foy and Matt Smith on The Crown, Doctor Who, and the girl with the dragon tattoo. Oh my God, it rhymes. Kind of, sort of. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to the show. Welcome to my podcast. Apologies, guys. I know I've been teasing this episode for a little while. It was a little bit delayed in going up, partially because of a crazy little trip I had to Los Angeles this past week. Sammy is still there, in fact, so I'm flying solo for the introduction. But we had a lot of fun in LA doing a bunch of really cool shoots that are, you can watch them, different aspects of them on MTV's YouTube channel and MTV's Facebook page. I've been socializing them as well, so look out for them. But suffice it to say, I got a chance to go to the Star Wars premiere. Yes, you can be jealous. It was pretty amazing, and particular for someone like me who's just a ginormous, huge old Star Wars fan. There's nothing cooler. It's my first Star Wars premiere. This is a big moment. So we covered the red carpet for that and talked to Daisy Ridley and a bunch of the stars of that, and that was a blast. And the movie is pretty remarkable. I'm excited to check it out again. It's one of those things where it's hard to absorb it all at once. It's Star Wars. It's still just too much to handle, and it's a lot of film. It's a 2.5-hour movie. A lot of crazy stuff happens in it. But my first inclination is it's a very, very, very good movie. So I'll see that once or twice or five times more, maybe more, in the theater, and then I'll get back to you with a full review. We also covered the new Pitch Perfect movie, Pitch Perfect 3, and spoke to all the stars of that, including Anna Kendrick, good old buddy Anna Kendrick, podcast frequenter Anna Kendrick, and also chatted with Hailee Steinfeld and Ruby Rose, and those were super fun, and those interviews are coming at you soon. And then we wrapped up our Los Angeles trip with a big old movie star in Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We covered the premiere of Jumanji, and that's a really fun movie, I have to say. I know, you know, on paper, some people might look at it like, oh God, they're trying to rehash Jumanji, and it's kind of a cash grab. It's legitimately a very, very fun movie. It exceeded my expectations, and that cast is fantastic, from Dwayne The Rock Johnson to Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, and oh my God, Jack Black steals the day. He is awesome in the movie. So anyway, that's a lot of information, but check out those interviews on MTV's Facebook and YouTube pages. Check out my social, and you'll be able to catch all the fun we had there. Anywho, let's talk about this week's or today's guests, because we might have another podcast coming this week, if I can fit it in. Today's guests are Matt Smith and Claire Foy. They are, of course, the two leads in the remarkably popular and critically hailed Netflix series, The Crown. I don't really need to sell you guys on the show. I don't think you've probably watched it by now, but it was such a phenomenon in its first season, and the second season definitely lives up to the first. This is sadly the final season for Matt and Claire, as their two characters are aging as the years go by, so they are recasting those roles. I think they've already recast Claire's role, of course, as the Queen. That's going to be Olivia Colman, an amazing actress in her own right. We don't know who's going to play Philip yet, though, so that's going to be something interesting to watch. That being said, this conversation barely talks about The Crown. And I'm not going to apologize for that. This was such a nice surprise because I haven't spent – I've interviewed Matt for like 10 minutes once a few years ago. He seemed charming enough, but like no history there. Claire, I only met a few months ago in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival where I chatted with her and Andrew Garfield about their film Breathe. So I didn't really know what I was going to get. I didn't know what kind of personalities they were. I certainly didn't know how they were going to interact with each other, let alone this virtual stranger in me. I think this is one of my favorite conversations that I've had on the podcast because it's just remarkably random and free associative, and they're just both witty, funny people, and it was a delight. I think they had a blast. They did not want to leave the room as they were being ushered away. So that's a good sign. And I certainly didn't want the conversation to end. But I have a feeling both will be back in the podcast for their respective projects. I mentioned Doctor Who and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in the intro. The reason I mentioned those, of course, is that Claire Foy is right now, she's shooting this new Damien Chazelle movie, which is very cool. Neil Armstrong movie along her and Ryan Gosling. That's going to be amazing. But next, she is going to be, yes, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in the latest version of that, of those books. So I'm very excited to see her in that kind of role, much different, obviously, than the Queen. So we talk a little bit about that towards the end. And we do talk about Doctor Who in the course of this conversation. I will say, and some of you might hate me for this and hate Claire Foy for this, it's kind of an amusing chat, in that Claire and I may be the two most ignorant people ever about Doctor Who to share a conversation with Matt Smith. Poor Matt had to just roll his eyes at these two idiots who didn't know anything, virtually anything about Doctor Who. So that's that's something I apologize in advance for my Doctor Who ignorance. It's just one of those things. I haven't gotten to it. I love the actors associated with that show. Please, Karen Gillan, we love Karen, David Tennant, they're all amazing. But I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I will. That and Game of Thrones. You guys know me. I'm an idiot. Anyway, remember, review, rate, and subscribe to Happy, Sad, Confused. Go on iTunes right now if you could. Write a little review. We might even read it on the introduction next week with Sammy here. I'll let Sammy do the honors. Or just give us a review. Spread the good word. It really does help, and it's much, much appreciated. So without any further ado, let's go to this conversation. I would be shocked if you're not grinning from ear to ear in hearing these two insanely charming folks chit-chat with me for 45 minutes. Here they are, Claire Foy and Matt Smith. Oh, wait, one warning. Not really a warning, but just a note. Audio could have been better. I know this is always a struggle. It's fine. Don't go crazy. It's fine. But there was a little audio glitch. One of the microphones, they were supposed to have a microphone each, wasn't working. They had to share a mic. They're friends. They shared the mic. It was fine. I've listened to it. Totally fine. Just not up to my lofty standards. There's your note. Now, enjoy the podcast. Gosh, should we talk? I mean, we're already talking.
Yeah, let's do it.
But I feel like the good stuff is already done.
It's gone.
No way, man. No way.
We've been saving it all up.
I love your office.
Thank you. I sort of
want to work here.
You're totally welcome in this office anytime.
I think I should have my own podcast.
What would your podcast... Yeah, thank you.
What
would it be about, right, Claire?
What would it be about, Matt?
I don't know. I've just... All I know at the moment is that I think I should have...
you had the epiphany. That's the first step.
Yeah.
Just my musings. My musings on the world.
You have quite a surreal... But
face.
But imagination.
Body.
It could just be. It could be a themed every week. You go to a different, part of your brain.
Part of my brain.
And explore it.
What's left of it?
Yes, it's almost like a little improv exercise where someone, your co-host, your sidekick, Josh Horowitz, whatever, throws out a topic, an idea, and then we have the musings of Matt Smith for 20, 45,
an
six
hour.
Hours, whatever you. Oh, an hour.
It's
wow.
It's straight up solo improv.
stream of consciousness.
You're ready for this.
Yeah. Straight up. Wow. What happens if there's nothing happening? And you've got absolutely nothing to give, and it's just a silent episode podcast.
It's called live in the pauses.
It's called
be like
Art
that.
Square. I mean, come on.
I'm gonna go. Start it now. Please, just ask him any random question and see what his music
is. What do you think this podcast is? Don't worry. If you haven't gotten the drill yet, there's no rhyme or reason to what we're doing here today, guys. Yeah, consider this your audition, Matt.
Okay, good. Right, okay. Right, good. Well, you know, yeah, okay, good. Right.
We will decide by the end. And I apologize.
If I deserve one.
Yes, don't worry, you do.
Yeah.
I apologize in advance to those listeners. The audio, we're sharing a microphone because we're all friends here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are sharing one, so feel free to lean in and so because they need to hear your beautiful.
That would never happen on my podcast. Wow. Each guest would have their own mic.
Well, I did, but the technical difficulties. You guys got here early. I'm flummoxed.
Hey, sorry, we keep doing that. Really. We keep arriving early. What's that about?
We're
very
early.
Punctual.
We're never early. But it's been nice. I've looked around your office.
You're still doing it. You're absolutely fascinated.
Well, I am a little bit fascinated by the office.
Do you have a little bit of a man crush? Are we okay?
I have more of a room crush.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Big Trouble in Little China poster got me some cred.
Signed Big Trouble.
I mean, come on.
Come on, and look how cool he looks.
And he wrote, Josh, I love it too. What's wrong with us?
I know.
Come on, he's the best.
Do you know what? He'd be a great follow-up Prince Philip.
He's American.
He can do an accent. I mean, Matt.
Do you remember Captain Ron? He did a great accent in Captain Ron.
John Lithgow did play Winston Churchill as well, didn't he?
Yeah. No,
I love Kurt Russell. He's great.
And also, Kurt Russell, he could probably just play him a mute if he wasn't good at the accent. He'd just be great. You look quite similar. There's an essence
I think
Matt.
You should take that as a high compliment.
Before.
Yeah.
Actually, you and Kurt Russell?
Me and Kurt Russell.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Are you making that up?
I am. Yeah.
So we all don't have that much of a past. I've met you oh so briefly once at a Comic-Con. I don't expect you to ever remember. Claire, we met recently in Toronto, mm-hmm. which was a lovely, totally insipid conversation.
Insipid? Wrong, isn't it? It was a ridiculous conversation.
For such a classy movie.
Why was it insipid? Flaccid?
No, it wasn't.
Do you remember
the
topics
flaccid.
That we covered, Claire? I don't expect you to, but I can refresh.
No, all I remember is Andrew was being odd.
Andrew...
He was very, very troublesome in that one.
He was, even by Andrew's standards.
He was being a bit fruity.
Fruity
like,
how? What? Fruity inquisitive or curious?
Glasses.
There was a glasses thing, exactly. There was a stimulated masturbation on a microphone.
That was an accidental.
Was it?
Yes.
What the fuck happened in this podcast?
No, that was completely accidental.
There was a beatboxing talk.
There was, but that never happened.
That never happened.
You like to rap, Andrew, actually. I remember that.
We tried to entice Claire to make her beatboxing debut. It did not happen.
Can you beatbox?
Ooh, look at me.
It was the microphone. The microphone was very... There was a lot going on with the microphone for me. It was all about the microphone, that interview.
Come on.
So...
sounds like a porn cast.
It was. So Matt does have the beatboxing skill.
Have the beatboxing skill, although I like to think I can rap, but I can't. No, I mean, I need obviously I need someone to lay down a beat before I lay down any lyrics. Yeah?
Yes.
Coming at you... No.
Okay, go.
Right, you can beatbox and I'll just rap. Okay, go. Ruffalo, Shannon, Norton, Eisenberg, Gyllenhaal, Wilde, Skarsgård, Connolly, Stars, Rishi.
That's not a rap. So look, just listing names,
guys. Just so you know, there is. Josh has a hit list in his office.
It's my murder board.
Some are in red, some are in green. The greens are goes, people that he likes.
That's not true.
The reds are people that he wants to kill.
No, there's so many reds.
People who he's never even going to...
Those are the New Yorkers, as I explained to you guys. Yes. Don't confuse the audience.
Yes, sorry.
They're already so confused.
No.
So what if beatboxing is not your secret skill, what's your secret party trick? What do you do? A couple too many drinks in you at a party. What can you break out?
Being a dickhead, really. That's my secret party trick.
A party trick.
What's your secret party trick?
Yeah. I don't have one.
Yes, you do.
Are you an impressionist? Are you a? Are you double jointed? Or
I have been diagnosed as being hypermobile.
What does that mean?
You heard it first.
I don't know.
You were hypermobile.
Wendy, our friend Wendy, said I was hypermobile for one thing.
You are very. All your limbs do move independently.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Karen Gillan, who's on the
murder board. Yeah.
She used to describe me as a piece of liquid. Anyway, I feel this is really focused on me. What's your party trick?
I don't think I have one. I can't.
Well, come on.
Apart from me, I can Irish dance, but
that's pretty good.
That is good.
It's not really a trick, and
I've never seen you do that.
Do an impression of Louis Armstrong.
Oh, that's quite good, actually. Wait. Your Louis Armstrong.
Okay.
That is pretty good.
You don't just offer that up and then just move on to a new topic.
Well, no, it can't be a party trick because then we're not at a party. I mean, this is an exciting moment.
I feel this is as close to a party as I get to.
Yeah.
But I have to keep something for myself. and my impression of him is going to be
sacred. Okay.
It is actually quite good.
I'd like to stop talking about it because it's getting me angry now. The more we talk about it, the more I can't see it.
The thing is, I don't know where it came from. I didn't know. Is that James McAvoy?
Yeah. No, it's Michael
Shannon. James McAvoy's business card.
And it's Professor XXX. He did a sketch with me. I'll show it with you after if you'd like, where he played a computer repair specialist that basically has sex with a computer on top of me. It's
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful
You've
man.
Worked with Mr. McAvoy.
I have, yeah. He is an absolute
He's a lot, let's be honest.
What do you mean? As a person?
No, I just said I love James. But he's among the silly sketches I've done, he is the one that has always gone like 190%.
Oh,
he
will go
method.
No, he's got so much energy.
Right in.
The man's got so much energy.
Really?
It's almost extraordinary. He is able to, in the play we did together, he was able to jump
Macbeth
from the floor to a table in one move. Like, as in, like Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, cool.
I don't know how he does that, which is pretty extraordinary. But also, he is not afraid of just saying the weirdest...
Exactly.
...most perverted thing that anyone could possibly never think of, because it only comes out of his mind.
Yeah, he's basically the person I can ask to do, like, the most disgusting idea I have and be like, I think James will do that.
And really? He'll always trump you. He'll always do better than you.
Really?
There's no way you can up him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because then he'll jump off a table or something.
I need to meet James McAvoy.
I think you guys would be fast friends.
No, I've never met James McAvoy.
He is a dreamboat.
So this is fun in that you guys get to do a lot of your press together.
Aww. Yes, thank the stars.
Right?
Thank God.
God, I think I'd just run in front of a bus if I had to do it on my own.
It'd be awful.
And it's a good excuse since this is essentially your victory lap at this point. Like, you guys don't...
Let me swan song.
Yeah, let me just say this. You guys don't actually need to sell the show. You guys are good. The show's like, it's already a hit.
Tell that to Netflix.
Tell them that.
You don't need to be here.
Yeah.
I want to be here. This is the best one.
Tell that to the old ball and chain.
Yeah.
So was, infamously, there are these silly things called chemistry reads. Which, yes, that is the proper response to a chemistry read.
Wow. We sort of had one, didn't we?
Chemistry? That shit was instant.
Yeah. That ship went down.
There was like stars around her. Anyway,
is there a truth to those things? Is that like
yeah?
That
yeah.
actually happens. You walk in a room and you like, oh yeah, I vibe with this person. There's something here.
Yeah, I think so. Don't you? Like,
I didn't know.
I've had it when it's not been good.
I've never really had a chemistry test thing. I don't really, but I've had auditions with the other act to see whether you. I think it's more about the fact that you have to get on. I don't think it's like that thing of like walking into a room and seeing if you like find each other attractive.
No,
or
no, right, no.
But it's more about the fact that you've got to.
I mean, that was obviously a fait accompli.
Oh, okay, of course.
Do not undermine
that one off the box.
Do not undermine me. I'm feeling very vulnerable at the moment.
I'm in a fragile state right now. The show is ending for me.
I just wrapped the whiteboard. It's a new low point in my career in life.
No,
go on, carry on.
But all I've ever done is met people at, I don't know. I think, I've never been in a circumstance where I haven't got on with the person that I'm either married to or...
But have you had an audition where you've read with more than one person and gone, yeah, to that person, no to that person?
Well, I've been the person who's reading with the people.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
But I haven't had a chemistry... I've never been put in a position where I'm like...
Read with multiple.
Where she can put an X over a guy's face on a board and say, but you have
there
not.
There was only you. There was no, for Prince Philip, they didn't wheel anyone else in.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, that was it. It was him and his funny socks.
Just the one ticket, please.
Yeah. And they were all a bit weird, weren't they? Afterwards, they were like, this is it, guys, this is it. And I could just see you going, I'm not sure I want to do this, I'm not sure I want to do this. Why is everyone telling me that I'm doing this and I'm really great and I don't really, this is a bit weird, she's pregnant, what's going on? Ah, I need to get out of here, it's a really small room.
That was a very small
room. What's happening here?
I don't know, darling.
Oh, his pants are coming undone. What's
big trouble in Little China, old freak?
You can feel comfortable here, but
it's
not
you.
That comfortable.
You led Garfield down a path of destruction and porn.
This
and
is what's happened. Actually, this is
Wait.
Very true.
I am the common denominator. I am the X Factor.
You are the common denominator.
Lord
this is God. Interesting.
Adult zone.
All right, calm down, everybody. It's hot in here, right?
Have you even done your flies up?
Yeah, well, I have.
There's a little zippage going on here. We're seeing a lot of mass.
Or a high-waisted pant.
Who doesn't love a high-waisted pant, though?
So... This has been my favourite interview of New York.
Can we call this an interview?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very charitable.
Just purple diarrhea.
Should I bottle my notes? What should we talk about? We don't have to talk about the crown.
Okay.
No. So had you ever met before your chemistry read?
I absolutely maintain.
You can't remember.
I met you on a sofa in the BBC auditioning for Little Dorrit, but you said you never auditioned for Little Dorrit.
No, I didn't.
I could have sworn it was you. If it wasn't you, it was someone who looked exactly like you at that period of time.
Kurt
and then
Russell.
I found out that person was going to be Doctor Who. So
it's a lot of
unless
coincidences.
Unless I live in a different universe.
I did not audition for Little Dorrit.
Are you sure? For the part that...
Who played it?
Arthur Darvill.
No.
Are you sure?
100%.
Maybe if you ask again, he might actually remember it.
I was so nervous that I just made it up.
Who is your celebrity doppelganger? Who do you get mistaken for?
Oh, God.
Who do you get mistaken for?
I get told I look like Emily Blunt. No bad thing.
That's good.
New Yorker?
There's like a bracket of us who've all got pale skin and blue eyes and dark hair.
Flick.
Felicity Jones.
Yeah,
right.
Andrew Riseborough.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean...
There's like a few of us,
right?
Who are all look the same essentially.
Are those the conversations that you really relish, where you get to correct somebody and have to list your IMDb and be like, actually, you might know me from?
Well, actually, no. The Emily Blunt one's the only one I've really had where people have gone, "Has anyone ever told you like Emily Blunt?" And I've gone, "Actually, you're not the first person," and I've been hugely complimented.
You've got quite sort of big eyes. You've both got quite big eyes, you two.
Yeah, well, that's
cinematic eyes.
Yeah.
They say, what do they say about
eyes?
Eyes? Yeah,
they're the windows of something.
Yeah. Oh, the souls. What do your eyes say about you, Matt?
I don't know. They say
they're dark pools of death.
Dark pools of death, destruction,
chaos.
You've
got green eyes.
I have got green eyes.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
Clerk can leave. Get out.
Yeah,
I realized, Claire, in reading up on your illustrious resume, that though we haven't actually crossed paths before recently, that I did see one of the very important cinematic works in your career. I was at the premiere of Season of the Witch here in New York. Nice. Were you here in New York for that premiere?
Yes, I was.
That was a magical night for me.
Oh, it was
Cage.
Just... Wasn't
Cage.
It?
Cage.
It was just wall-to-wall fine acting in that film.
She was the witch, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch that movie, don't I?
You should, for fun.
give me
did
one.
Did you feel like it was a big break? You know when you do those, like, the first thing I did on TV was an adaptation, sorry to bring it back to me, but it is my podcast, of a Philip Pullman novel. And I remember it came out on TV, and I thought... I'm going to get the tube. And I got on the tube and I thought, God, what's it going to be like being famous? Everyone's going to know me.
And nobody gives a shit.
Literally. 5 years later, no one cared, you know. Did you think that was like, because, you know, it was Nick Cage. It's a big
It was
movie.
A very weird thing because I went to the, I'd done Little Dorrit and I went to the premiere of Little Dorrit in Leicester Square with Matthew McFadden. And I was like, this is really surreal. And then Matthew was like, what are you going to do next? I was like, I'm going to do a film with Nicolas Cage. And I just remember thinking, what's wrong with, like, what's happened to me? So I never felt like it was like, here I come. It was
right.
just more like, what on earth is going on?
How did this happen?
I was in a cage with Nicolas Cage.
Very meta.
Like, that's hilarious. It was that's a hilarious amazing. Thing. Like, yeah. Who's ever in that situation when they're 24 years old?
Hopefully
like,
not many.
It was
no.
just
we don't know.
Unbelievable. No.
I love Nick Cage.
I mean,
I
come
love
on.
Nick Cage. He's great. He's extraordinary.
Talk about it. We're talking about the McAvoy. He's like the guy that'll go for anything. He'll
Cage.
Pop out. Yeah, I mean, he'll... Yeah.
He has no... He is entirely willing to be ironic about himself.
Yeah.
I think Nick is, and I'm making a pledge for this, he should be the person who is given a long-form TV show.
Really?
Yes. With the central character being odd and strange, but compelling and
really, compelling.
Really requiring... Because he's such a brilliant actor. I saw some amazing acting that he did on that film.
Really? no, I didn't... No, I didn't mean it that
but,
way.
But, you know, might not possibly have made it in. But
amazing response.
Really?
you mean that what? Film?
Season of the Witch? No. I'm sorry. I'm such an asshole. I'm sorry.
Hey,
that's horrible.
I mean... I'm very proud of that movie.
What's the most eccentric thing you've seen Nicolas Cage do, though, in a charming way? Have you been to his castle? Have you talked to vampires?
I was never invited to any of that. He used to shout, Briggy, where's my hot chocolate? I can't do his voice. Like he would just.
I know.
Just...
Is he a sort of old English woman?
Yeah, the Nick Cage we know is just a put on.
I can't because it was Nicolas Cage doing a. What's happened?
What's on the back of your? Sorry, there's writing on the back of your blouse.
What does it say? It's addressed.
It says, I'm a Jeff.
No, it doesn't.
Kick here.
I don't know. It says nymph.
No,
it doesn't. No, it says something with a... What does it say? No, it says... It does. It says... Doesn't that say... N-Y-M. I mean, the M and the P are in the right
place. Oh, yeah, it does say something.
It says sort of nymphy. Nymphy.
Nymphy.
A-E-U-N. She's a nymphon.
Sorry, I interrupt you.
I think a nymphon is in the Lord of the Rings saga, right? The nymphons?
Nymphon, is it? Isn't it?
There are a lot of wardrobe issues we have going on here.
Oh, God.
Oh, the wheels have come
off. The wheels were never on.
No, I don't think they were.
Okay.
What are you eyeing? You're eyeing my swag
Cage.
Pile?
You've got some Christmas candles.
Oh, yeah. Dan Stevens, another New Yorker. Star of The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Dan Lovely
Stevens
man.
Lives here now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he on that?
I believe he is. He must be there.
Very kind man, isn't he, Dan Stevens?
He is.
We like Dan
a
Stevens.
A sweetie.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you there's a secret club? Do you guys know everybody in your age group, the Brits? Are you...
He's a scenester, this one.
Oh, piss off.
He's up with the cool kids.
Is there a group text with Cumberbatch and Hiddleston and all the cool kids?
No. Not there. See, they're the posh cool kids. You know?
Oh.
I'm the, but
and no. The rest of them aren't?
I'm friends with Ben.
Ben's
what?
Great. Benedict Cumberbatch is
true
gentleman.
Ben. Yeah, yeah. I met Ben because we had the same... we filmed in the same place in Wales for Sherlock and Doctor Who. We literally filmed next door and I'd pop on to like his set and he'd pop on to mine. And
lovely.
Hello, oh, yeah, no. But you sort of, you know, you bump into people, don't you? You bump into people. You sort
sure.
of...
Well, that's one of the beauties of New York. You both live in London, I assume? Or...
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bumping into city, whether actually literally or just people are in your sphere.
Yeah.
There's a density. Like LA, you can just be in your box and not see anybody for months at a time if you want.
I'd rather live in New York than LA.
I'm with you.
Claire?
New York, please.
Yeah. I don't have a driver's license, guys. I can't live anywhere but here in London, basically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends don't have a driving license.
Really?
No, Gallagher doesn't drive.
Are they children? Do your friends children?
No, they don't. No.
They're adults that just,
they're
like adults. Myself, are barely functioning.
Yeah.
Because they're all 7-year-olds. Cool kids.
That's what we are. Mm-hmm. Did I hear this correctly? This is a segue that's really a chestnut.
Okay, great. Bring it on.
It's a segue that's a chestnut.
But yeah, just saying it's a wonderful segue.
Okay.
You're a Pride and Prejudice fan?
Yes.
Have you seen his work in the seminal Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
I haven't.
Look, we talked about Season of the Witch. We have to talk about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
The modern classic.
Let's answer
is.
To our career-defining moments, Matt.
This was a highlight for me.
You played what's space?
Parson
as
Collins. I can't believe you. You are a non-supportive friend. I can't believe.
Have you seen Breathe? Matt?
No, I haven't seen Breathe.
So there we go.
I keep trying to see Breathe.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do actually.
You keep trying really hard.
What's happening? Do you not know how to watch a movie?
No. You know, yeah, no, I do.
He's a busy guy.
It's Breathe is coming.
I've watched you in The Crown. You're marvellous.
We haven't seen season 2 yet.
Have you seen every episode of Doctor Who that he was in?
I've got to say, no.
Never.
It's not something that I know I would necessarily
measuring
watch.
Her words very carefully.
Listen, I was exactly the same. I'd never seen an episode before I did it.
Did you tell people that?
I told them in the audition. They said, "What's your favourite episode?" I told Piers. Piers asked me, our friend, and I said, "Look, Doctor Who is on at 7 o'clock on a Saturday.
It's about Gorgons.
At which time I'm in the pub. And they were like, and so, yeah. I was
and
honest.
I have been since I was three.
Yeah.
I was raised right.
Yeah. Born in a barn.
Yeah.
It is funny how stuff like that can, like, I mean, you see my walls. I should have watched every episode of Game of Thrones and every episode of Doctor Who. I'll admit, I haven't watched either. And partially, and Doctor Who's just, like, evaded me partially because of just the sheer volume. And I just feel overwhelmed by that.
Mm-hmm. It is quite, I'm biased, though, but it is good. Doctor Who is good. Not all of it's good. Like, you know, the our pluses and our minuses, obviously. But
the ones before you and after you are adequate.
They're doing their best, aren't they,
man? That's it, exactly.
I mean.
But it is, you know, it's a good... And I've got to say, I like Game of Thrones.
I love Game of Thrones.
I'm sure I would love it. I just haven't buckled down and actually...
You're a movie guy, though.
I'm a movie guy, but I grew up with watching way too much television. There's only so many hours in the day.
Is it the fantasy element of it that doesn't attract you?
Oh, no. I am a total geek. Like, no, let's be clear.
There's dragons and stuff.
I love any dragon movie.
Okay.
I mean, I would be all in.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Did you guys have, like, loves of that genre stuff growing up? Were you into that at all? Or
fantasy
stuff? Yeah, fantasy stuff.
Mm. Okay. I've got a question for you.
Please.
I think I pose this to you. My friend, it's kind of the same, but not. My friend, we had a debate the other day. He reckons the best trilogy since Back to the Future is Planet of the Apes.
The new ones.
The new ones.
I think you can make an argument.
You can make an argument.
Yeah.
You can make an argument. I mean, you know, so I was trying to wrap my head, apart from The Godfather, but that was before, really, wasn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Godfather's early
the
70s.
Matrix, no. So, I mean, I said Lord of the Rings, maybe?
No.
No?
You can't compare Back to the Future to Lord of the Rings.
Back to the Future's better.
You're talking about, like, consistency through a trilogy that has maintained quality.
One,
through
two,
the three.
What has been great?
I think Back to the Future is a gold standard.
Yeah.
I think Matrix falls apart, to be honest. Most would agree.
One is great.
Two and three have their pleasures, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Godfather, I'm a defender, weirdly, of... I mean, Godfather 3 is obviously not in the same league, but Godfather 3 still is better than 80% of other movies out there.
Yeah. And Apes, one and two are enough.
One or two are
I perfect. Watched The Last Apes on the plane. It's brilliant.
Brilliant. I actually think Dawn is my favorite of that trilogy. The middle one. But yeah, I think it's a good argument.
What about Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park, but three.
Three is
three.
Is a very...
One or two, great.
I got one.
Go on.
It's actually... The problem is they made a fourth, which ruins the argument. Indiana Jones. The Indiana Jones trilogy.
It's before
Back to the Future.
Before Back to the Future. Yes, it started before,
But then they came in with the fourth, and the fourth...
The fourth is the most upsetting cinematic experience in my lifetime, because...
Really?
I literally fell asleep watching the fourth Indiana Jones movie, and if you had told me that I would ever fall asleep watching an Indiana Jones movie, I would have thought you were crazy. But
what about the Twilight Saga?
Never watched them. Never watched them.
Well, you weren't here at MTV back during those days. I have interviewed Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson more than any other human being, I think, on Earth.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
And they're lovely people. I have nothing. I mean,
those
films weren't made for us.
No.
But certainly,
what made their lives, you know, untenable at one point, didn't it? They couldn't walk down the street.
But kudos to them. They've come out the other side, both of them.
Yeah, doing really well.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean? I'm just throwing these out there.
Well, no, it's good. I like the debate, but it's tough.
What's the movie what was the movie you became obsessed with as a wee lass, Claire? What was the first movie that you committed to memory? What was the movie you obsessed over?
I mean, I was a big fan of Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Disney was very significant in my life, and I watched them over and over again. But then saying that, Desperately Seeking Susan...
Oh, nice.
...was possibly inappropriate.
Sure.
Very much inappropriate, actually. but so much of that is ingrained in my mind about how people should dress and behave.
I was wondering about this frock you're wearing today. That's very 85 Madonna.
But you know, like, there was some bit where... I can't forget the actress, but she like ate some sweets that I would just like for then years afterwards pretend to eat a sweet the way she ate it, and the way that Madonna had her black sparkly boots, I was just like, I want to be that. And she like worked in sort of a semi strip club, like everything, and the mix of the sound was amazing. Was that nine?
Wow.
Well, my sister's 5 years older than me, so that became quite a seminal moment. Desperate Seeking Susan was like huge in my life.
Totally.
And then Clueless, and then When Harry Met Sally, and then Frankie and Johnny.
This is a good list. Are you going to be seeing, have you scored tickets? This is, I only think of it because of Madonna. I think of Bruce Springsteen, who I hear you're a fan of.
I'm going tonight.
You're going tonight.
I'm going tonight.
Okay.
To Broadway.
That's how you have to say it.
To see Bruce.
I saw it recently.
Okay.
And?
It's, honestly, I'm not hyperbole, it's one of the greatest, like, theatrical things I've ever seen.
Is it not, do you not just want him to play the,
No,
play the music.
He does play the music.
He's a big talker, isn't he, Springsteen?
But in a great way. He's an amazing storyteller. Like you listen to and I'm not like a big music person, honestly, at all. Like I'm the guy that like listens to like John Williams soundtracks. Like I'm a weirdo. But like if you listen to like, I feel like it's like the double like River album. That's like the live album, and it's like him talking in between the songs. Like that stuff is as like amazing and poetic as anything. And that's what this show has plenty of the great music, and you're seeing it live. Even the worst seat in the house, which I'm presuming you don't have, is still better than any concert ticket you'll ever have. You're close.
My dad is gonna just
it must have been hard to get tickets.
Well, yeah, I mean, I tried the normal routes, and then I pretty much just sort of said to my New York agent, I was like,
this is the time when you. This is what the power of celebrity should be used for, if anything, is to get Bruce Springsteen. This is what it's about.
Free stuff.
But I can't do it on my own behalf. I can't book a restaurant or anything. But if it comes to going to the theatre, I'm like, please get me a ticket.
Sure.
Please. It's so ridiculous, that, isn't it?
Are you put in those kind of weird, uncomfortable situations where you're like, you know, I really would like to go to that restaurant tonight. Should I, like, have you tried? Do you drop the name? Is it...
I'd sort of die if I rang up and went,
I couldn't do that.
Like, you know, I'm just phoning on behalf of Matt Smith.
Hang on, I'll just get him.
Who?
That's the old
Donald. Yeah, no, Matt, do you want it?
I've been talking to people. He's sorry, yeah. It's very hard to come to the phone.
That was the old Donald Trump move. Do you know about this? Like,
Trump
years ago, he would pretend to be like his own like publicist.
Cool.
What a guy.
What a guy, man. What a cool guy.
He's a great idea. Should he run a country?
Yeah. From a golf course. Yeah.
It's not yours, guys. Don't, I mean, it's...
As is no
we're
better.
Not doing very well.
As is no
that's fair.
We're not
that's
setting
fair.
A gold standard of leading people.
Lead moron as well. I mean, it's just all... It's all a big spiral of piss.
Let's talk about something happier.
Yeah.
It's a big spiral of piss.
Who's closer to Ryan Gosling at this point? You've been... Oh.
I don't know whether I am.
You've been directed by him, Matt.
You've been directed by him for months on end.
I love Ryan Gosling.
A wonderful man. Smells amazing. Yeah. Is just enchanting.
Yeah, he is enchanting.
He is.
And he's a groove, you know. He's got a good rhythm.
You've started shooting your Damien Chazelle.
I've got 3 days left, yeah.
You're almost done.
Mm-hmm.
How do we define the uniqueness that is the Gosling? Do you call him the Gosling? What do you call him?
I call him Ryan.
I'm
very professional. Other people call him Rye. I'm not there yet.
No.
I'm not confident enough with it.
No.
I don't have enough dominion over the English language to be able to do that. But I will call him Ryan. I have not called him Mr. Gosling. I call him Neil quite a lot.
Do you?
Oh, really?
Is he Neil on set?
No.
No.
Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Does he wear the astronaut thing just for shits and giggles?
He's going to have to wear that a lot, though.
They're a pain in the arse, those suits.
They just look absolutely.
So you have experience?
Like
have you played an astronaut?
I have played many an astronaut.
What?
Doctor Who, guys. Doctor Who.
You're talking to the two most ignorant people about Doctor Who, Seb.
You've been an astronaut in Doctor Who. Is he an astronaut?
He's a time traveller. He goes to space all the time.
He goes to space?
He goes to police phone box.
I need to watch this show.
This is like, come on.
I remember I remember a Christmas show and there was a giant fish.
There was a giant shark that could swim
through the air
when people sang.
Okay.
This is the part
when Catherine Jenkins sang a Christmas song and all the fish came down and the giant shark, and then I got it on a sleigh and I rode it around and delivered presents on a giant shark that... Come on.
Now,
that got around on
sideways. I mean, that... I can't put those two... I mean,
This is the podcast,
but
by the way.
This
is your podcast.
Yes.
It's explaining every episode of Doctor Who.
And why those decisions were made.
And just...
I'd love you in Doctor Who going, guys, I'm not...
Time out.
This is
the logic piece over here.
I am the logic
literally.
Piece.
Oh, how would this even work, guys?
Like, down to the point where she'll go, guys, these napkins just don't feel period enough. I'm like this. I'm going, oh, fuck, she's gone with the napkins.
Just hold up filming for another 45 minutes.
It's a secret code among cast. Claire's doing the napkin thing again.
Yeah. If I don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. Then we're all screwed.
What were we talking about? I don't know. Did you guys, was there a big fun rap party? Is this the end? Did we consider this the end?
This is the end.
I've got to say that the rap party was not as marvellous as I had hoped, because we had to go to the TV BAFTAs the next day.
We couldn't really cut loose in the way we wanted to.
Right.
And then we went to the BAFTAs, were nominated for 10 and didn't win one.
So it was a real kind of like, well done, you finished. You're never going to work again.
Failures.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being good enough.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we're not going to have. That's it now. This is it, Matt.
No, but you will have next round of awards season. Actually, let's be honest. I don't want to jinx it, but I've seen 5 episodes. It's good again.
Yeah, but that's like now.
It's now.
Like what the award show thing is now. Isn't
no,
it?
But they have to nominate for the what when are the next Emmys and all that stuff. And
oh, the Emmys.
Oh, the Emmys.
Was the Emmys
probably,
not?
That'll be the next time I see Matt Smith, probably.
That's a shame.
Yeah, you're going to delete her phone number as soon as this is done.
We could stay friends.
I really want to stay friends.
What would you do for fun, just outside of work? What would a Claire-Matt friendship date be like? What's the activity?
Simply, look at her face. Total distaste. I don't know.
Okay, you call her up. Hey, Claire, let's...
No way. We'd drink.
We'd go and drink or have lunch and then...
Maybe eat some food.
We'd eat some food.
Yeah.
Or I'm quite intrigued by this foot salt bath that you were talking about.
That's not something we can do together, Matt. It's sort of a lone experience.
Not the way he does it.
A manicure and pedicure, if you like.
Absolutely not. Boring. But
boring? That's the issue.
A nice massage.
What, a couple's massage?
We basically had that in Africa, didn't we? You walked in, I walked out. It was, you know, one in, one out.
Oh, it was. Yeah, but it wasn't.
We didn't do it on the table.
Turn over and go,
no.
Ah! You're here. What should we talk about?
Oh, that would freak you out.
Yeah. They do those ones where they cover each other in mud, couples.
Oh, there you go.
We do it together.
And then it rains from the ceiling like a shower. Oh,
my God. That would be very sweet.
It would be hilarious. Are you enjoying it, Matt?
I'm sorry. Is that all right? Is that pace all right?
Oh my God.
He wouldn't do that. Hence why I'll never see him again. He's the most disorganised, and I'm going to bring this up now so that it's...
Yeah, put it on the record. Yeah,
he's the most disorganised, ridiculous person in the whole world, so I'll never
Organisation
actually
get... Organisation scares me.
I won't ever get a chance to see him again.
That's not true.
How does this manifest?
Really
unless I turn up at his front door.
You are my best friend.
Matt has a reputation. He just flushes out the current friends for the new cast. It's like, next.
Do you know what? That's not true. It's a very hard list to get on. Claire has made the top three best girlfriends. Karen Gillan's one of the others.
But you see them too, because you have to go and do other Doctor Who things. We're not going to go to conventions.
But you two live in the same city. Karen's here. It's tougher. So you can vault over Karen on the list. Congratulations.
Yeah, okay.
By proximity.
Oh
no. Never mind. Wow, he's already hemming and hawing. Never mind. You're top five. You're not top three.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to make it happen with Ryan. We're going to become best friends.
Who are your best male friends, apart from Josh?
On our second meeting.
Kurt Russell.
I've seen Tap, they're going to take you away in
a
second.
I don't want to do anything else. Now, come on, there's got to be... Who's your real best male friend? I've got to be at least top five now.
I don't like to put my friends in brackets of tops. You're there.
Let's talk about happier things.
I want to be cruel to you now.
So, moving on, the press tour is going to end. You're going to cry. You're never going to talk to each other again.
Yeah.
You're going to. You have wonderful upcoming, exciting projects. I'm sure. I'm very excited. You're probably in the back of your head thinking about the girl
with the face,
dragon tattoos, etc.
And the spider's web. Yeah.
I'm very excited, and I just saw Blade Runner. That your co-star in this one's going to be Sylvia Hook.
Yes,
right.
Sylvia
Hooks.
Who does she play in Blade Runner?
She's Love.
She's the baddie.
She's like the
she's good,
the T-1000 kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
So what do you need to get? How do you need to get your shit in order to be ready for that? Like, what's the prep? Gosh. What's the thing you need to get done?
I need to read every single book cover to cover.
How many are there?
Sort the accent out. Right. Sort my body out. Sort out what I'm going to do in my acting, and then attempt to get on set on the first day and not have a meltdown.
And learn to ride a motorbike.
I mean, I sort of feel like at this juncture, that's quite far down the list. because there's a lot to do before that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my main objective of doing the whole film is that it's not like I don't just do the signposts of the character. She rides a motorbike, she has a mohawk, she has a Swedish accent, and that actually she's a fully-fledged person, and those things are just sort of...
The accoutrements.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. And but you know, to be honest, the entire cast is pretty much, apart from me, I don't know what they're thinking. it are people, you know, of Scandinavian origin. So you know, I'm the weak link.
You need to that incentivizes you. You can't stick out like a sore thumb. You need to bring
your. It brings an authenticity to it. I think that is something that I think that would be really interesting for the film. That it's not just an iconic part. You know, it's not just, you know, that's what why the James Bonds did so well when they came back, was because they weren't just lewd, inappropriate jokes and people driving around in fast cars.
Right.
You know, there was that scene where Daniel Craig had his smashed.
I won't forget that soon. Yeah.
Which was like, I remember watching that scene and just being like, what is going on?
What?
Awful.
In Casino Royale.
He's tortured. Yeah.
For like 15 minutes.
He's like naked in the chair thing, you know.
Good movie, isn't it?
Great movie.
It's absolutely a perfect example of how to reignite something like that.
Second one wasn't as good. Third one was really good.
I see a massive waving behind you, so I need to let you guys go.
Oh, no.
No, don't. No. Let's barricade us.
I've tried before. It doesn't work.
Okay.
I think Matt earned his stripes as a future podcaster. Congratulations on your future podcast.
Matt. Well done, Matt.
She's your reluctant, but I'll come back.
I think Matt's still sulking about not making your top five friends list.
I really am sulking about that.
Of course you're in the top five.
I mean, I was expecting top three, to be honest.
Guys, let's not let this be the end. Let's keep this going.
Yeah, thanks for having
A real pleasure to get to know both of you more today, and this was a really stupid waste of time.
It was.
But everybody should watch The Crown, which we didn't talk about at all.
Yeah, good.
Thank God.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.